Well, I recently found my copy of the works of Charles Lutwidge Dodgson, known to most of you as Lewis Carroll. In the first chapter, I read that Alice, burning with curiosity, takes off after a waistcoated, watch-bearing white rabbit. My lovely spouse asked us if we were going to sing the White Rabbit song, but maybe not. She takes after this white rabbit and finds herself going down, down, down the rabbit hole into her adventures in Wonderland. Now, by the second chapter, she is eating a very small cake on which the words, "Eat me," were beautifully marked in currants. Now, Alice starts opening out like the largest telescope that ever was, and she says, "Goodbye, feet." So the story gets curiouser and curiouser, the title of my remarks today, my reflection. "Curiouser and curiouser," cries Alice. She was so much surprised that for the moment she quite forgot to use good English. Well, from there, Alice finds a large blue caterpillar smoking a long hookah, and another very curious thing, and another curious thing, a bunch of gardeners painting white roses red, and then a curious croquet ground in which the croquet balls were live hedgehogs and the mallets live flamingos. Taking you way back to whenever you, if you ever read this story, Alice is a curious young woman in a curious world. Now, through the centuries, folks have seen curiosity sometimes as actually a very negative attribute. The 17th century mathematician and physicist and writer, and he was Catholic theologian, Blaise Pascal, warns, "Curiosity is only vanity. We usually only want to know something so that we can gossip about it." Okay, Oscar Wilde, the poet and playwright, tells us the public has an insatiable curiosity to know everything, except what is worth knowing. Mother Teresa, the Albanian Indian Roman Catholic nun and missionary, writes of how we can practice humility. And she has this whole long list, and I have a few pages of quotes about curiosity back at the table there. Yes, Sharon is showing, my mother, lovely assistant is showing those pages of quotes. So all sorts of things to practice humility, and one of the primary ways is to mind one's own business to avoid curiosity. Now that's a hard road to follow these days. I mean, every time I use my phone, there's another trending now. You know, I found myself trending all about the James Bond 25th movie yesterday. You know, just absolutely, we are curious about a multitude of things, often about very inconsequential matters. I do that too. But we have also come to see curiosity as a very positive characteristic, a gateway to insight and new learnings. Another quote, "Curiosity is, in great and generous minds, the first passion and the last, the permanent and certain characteristics of a vigorous intellect." That's from Samuel Johnson, an 18th century writer. And of course, Albert Einstein writes, "The important thing is not to stop questioning. Curiosity has its own reason for existence." The diplomat and activist and First Lady of the United States, Eleanor Roosevelt, writes, "I think at a child's birth, if a mother could ask a fairy godmother to endow it with the most useful gift, that gift would be curiosity." And of course, the blessed Mary Oliver, who died this past year, writes, "I don't want to end up simply having visited this world. I want to step through the door." She wants to step through life with curiosity and step through that last door, full of curiosity, wondering. So, like with any topic, curiosity, enjoyment, and adventure, is it vanity and sheer nosiness? The doorway to learning, to enriching oneself, and of course, it's all of those things. Now, if you're fairly lucky, we go into life with a positive sense of curiosity. We do ask who and what and when and why, and at a certain point, we ask why and why and why and why. I never thought of myself as a particularly curious child. My oldest brother he absolutely took the cake for curiosity, both in every sense of the word. He was an odd kid, and he's a wonderful adult, a wonderful imaginative adult, but I never thought of myself as particularly curious. But after high school, I knew that I had to keep on learning. One of the things now I was not going to keep on learning was English Lit. It was boring as hell in high school. So I actually found a college that I had no English Lit requirement, and of course I took an English class the very last semester I was there. I was only there for 2 years. It was a marvelous class, and when I transferred to university, I transferred as an English Lit major. That's why I'm always doing quotes and going back to the dictionary, and the Roget's thesaurus is right there at hand at all the time. So, got my degree in English Lit, but I knew that I wasn't going to be able to make a living that way. So I went through nursing school, became a registered nurse, went off to Alaska. That's where Tim and I met. And one day, I was working as a charge nurse in the morning shift. That's what I did. I was in charge, which meant that I gave out assignments. I did a lot of emergency room, and it had been a particularly trying 3 days. First off, I was taking care of a 70-something-year-old woman, which, of course, right now doesn't seem all that old, but she had Alzheimer's, and she'd had a stroke, and we weren't expecting her to make it, and I was doing just comfort care, and indeed, she died on my shift, I took it with equanimity. I had seen lots of older people die, but then later that day we had a little girl come in off the Alaska Airlines, and she had stopped breathing on the airlines, and despite she had leukemia and went into acute respiratory arrest, and despite the fact that there were a couple doctors on the plane and they detoured and landed in Sitka, there was nothing we could do for her. And the next day, we had a man in his 60s who was out salmon trolling. Sitka was a big fishing community, and he was out with his daughter and suffered a heart attack and went into cardiac arrest. And despite her doing CPR, there was nothing we could do for her either, or him. And I can remember walking down the hall crying, and that wasn't my usual. I was usually pretty stoic about all the ins and outs of life and death at the hospital, and I thought, my God, I can't help physically. I can't help that many people. I realized that healing people's bodies wasn't always possible, and it was at that time that I started wondering what else should I be doing with my life. Well, it turns out we moved, and what I was doing with my life was a little bit of nursing in Vancouver, and a lot of volunteer work, both in Vancouver and then in Missoula, and then got these advanced degrees in philosophy with an emphasis on practical ethics, and then got a degree in divinity, a master's in divinity, which has always seems quite ironic in a faith that often dismisses the notion or even the mention of God. My goodness, what a curious world and what a curious life. And I'm sure that many of you, and I know that many of you have those kind of life stories that, how did I get here in the first place and the second place and the third place? You know that if you read my newsletter, I talked about our faith, our Unitarian Universalism, what a curious faith we have. As faith go, we have no dogma requirements. We don't expect you to believe in this sort of God or this sort of resurrection or this sort of of idea of what the world is like. Our congregations are filled with different theologies and atheologies. Our sanctuaries are full of doubters and questioners. We try our best to build an increasingly wider tent constructed of love and justice. So we are a bunch of curious people. And if you are like me and have gone to and have belonged to a number of small congregations like this, many much smaller than this, you know, to 12, 15, 20 people, to the 250, 550, 1,000 people congregations, you know that we are curious in all sorts of ways. We're eager and anxious to know, as well as often fairly unusual and odd and downright peculiar people. And that's wonderful about us. We're an odd faith for a peculiar people, curious people, doubters, questioners, not an easy path to be on. And looking through the material that I got for Curiosity this month, retired Unitarian Universalist minister Charles Magistro talks about our faith and curiosity, and he writes, "I'm amused by the view that it's easy to be a Unitarian Universalist. It's as easy to be Unitarian Universalist, a UU, as it is to be persistent, courageous, and curious." Excuse me while I... Well, it's as easy these days being a preacher when you have just this terrible hay fever going on. Excuse me. It's as easy to be a UU as it is to search the murky waters of life without sure charts to guide us, or any guarantees that we will find a safe port to put down anchor. It's as easy to be a UU as it is to overcome the natural fear of the unknown and venture forth with nothing to sustain us save our zest for living and hunger for new experience and knowledge. And Magistro continues, "Our way in religion is not the way of ease. We are called to be sailors, for many worlds exist waiting to be discovered, and not the least of these worlds are within ourselves. It takes as much persistence, courage, and curiosity to look into our own depths, to come to terms with the twin mysteries of being alive and having to die, to see ourselves in new and larger ways without being dishonest about our limitations. It takes as much persistence, courage, and curiosity as it took for the ancient mariners to sail thousands of kilometers into an unknown ocean until they found dry land. So our way in religion is not the way of ease. A curious path for a curious people." And the Reverend Scott Taylor, who's part of the group that puts together these themes for the month, he suggests that another sort of curiosity exists for us, a curiosity that goes beyond experience of the life as a wonderland, beyond knowing all the names of every single Kardashian and what they're up to right now. You know, a curiosity that is a series of, beyond a series of questions. You know, does God have a big toe or a belly button? A curiosity beyond doubts or degrees. A deeper sort of curiosity that drives us past enjoyment and comfort, that drives us to change. And Reverend Taylor writes, "This is the type of curiosity we Unitarian Universalists have fallen in love with. One might even say put our faith in. Just think of how we talk about our dances with curiosity. These are some of our life stories. We don't just tell stories about our barraging our poor Sunday school teachers with why and who says, who's there. We tell stories of doing it until we were kicked out of the class. we don't just talk about being open-minded. We talk about how our open-mindedness led us to leave home and family and walk a lonelier path than we wanted. And lately, many of us have leaned into the hard work of being curious about our role in upholding institutional racism and structures of white supremacy, none of which is just about learning interesting new things. And Reverend Taylor continues, the point of all these stories is that as hard as these curious paths are, we are grateful for them. We don't want curiosity to just be fun or interesting. We want it to make us anew. In other words, the message of faith is not simply be curious. It's be curious until there are consequences. It's fine to be inquisitive for the fun of it, but at another level, we're called to remember that curiosity is not a game. Well, maybe it's the greatest game, the one that drives us constantly to become more for our sakes and for the sakes of others. And at this point, in writing my reflections, I get tired. It's like, well, where else am I going to go with this? And I opened up my email, and I had gotten an email from the Canadian Unitarian Council. And it was about the report that came out in Vancouver. Now, I cut out a couple of things. Now, we actually, in Duluth, we had, granted it was on the last page of the first section, but in the newspaper, Indigenous women they talk about this commission in Vancouver that found this egregious number of Indigenous women being disappeared or killed. And the Canadian Unitarian Council wrote a letter in response saying that we acknowledge the systemic and ongoing nature of colonization of Indigenous peoples, land, and resources on this land. We are becoming more aware of the many ways in which colonization unjustly privileges settlers at the expense of Indigenous people. It goes on to use the word genocide in this report. And the Canadian Unitarian Council comments that we are mindful that resistance to the use of genocide, that word genocide, may be linked to beliefs about our identity as a nation and denial of the facts of our shared history. It may also be linked to a mindset that emphasizes individual intention or action. I'm not a racist, I'm not killing anyone, but it minimizes the role of systemic influences in racism and privilege. And it goes on to say, while we may not have individually constructed the racist system that is in place, we are each complicit in sustaining it until we take steps to change it. Certainly, Lakehead has taken steps to learn about that problem. Certainly, there's been blowback. Chronicle Journal, genocide isn't the right word, and genocide is a word filled with hugely negative connotations about one's country. But it does lead to conversations. Tim and I, of course, being from the United States, we talk about our genocide, and some of it was very purposeful, killing of our Native Americans and the use of black citizens, or who are now citizens, as slaves. Minnesota has also got a task force on Indigenous women. Indigenous women are 12 times more likely to go missing than any other demographic, 16 more times likely to be killed or disappear than white women. So, may our curiosity lead us to confront those parts of ourselves as individuals or as a nation that are not so comfortable to live with and find out what we may do about it. May our sanctuaries continue full of doubters and questioners, curious folks all. May we continue in our understanding of self, of others, of systems that oppress. May we continue to build an increasingly wider tent constructed of love and justice. May we, like the ancient mariners, use our persistence, our courage, our curiosity to constantly become more for our sakes and for the sake of others. May we embrace each other and this faith with holy exploration, holy doubt, holy curiosity, holy action. May it be so. May we make it so. Blessed be.